This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We are investigating, with the help of a colleague from RÚV and someone I'm going to introduce from the public broadcaster in Ireland, RTE, the unexplained disappearance of an Icelandic man called Jón Jónsson, who went to the Dublin Poker Festival in 2019 and simply vanished within 24 hours of arriving in the city. There is a new podcast which seeks to explain or investigate what has happened to Jón. It is called Where is Jón? And you can listen to it as of today. As I say, I'm joined by one of my colleagues at RÚV, Anna Marzabel Clausen, and from RTE in Ireland, who are co-producing this podcast, Liam O'Brien, joining me from Dublin as well. Welcome to you both.
Lovely. Great to be here.
Great to hear from you both as well. So, Liam, do you want to just quickly, I guess, not tell us everything that we know, but just put a bit of flesh on what I mentioned there? We're talking about an Icelandic man who disappeared in 2019 after just 24 hours in the Irish capital.
Yes, so Jón had flew in from Reykjavik on the 8th of February 2019. He'd arrived literally to the airport and then drove down the road in a taxi, maybe 3-4 kilometers into a hotel called the Bonnington Hotel. He stayed in that hotel all day. His fiance arrived over the following morning. They met for about an hour in the bedroom. She went downstairs for a cup of coffee, cigarette. Jón followed her down pretty quickly without her knowledge, walked out the front door of the hotel and has never been seen since. So a really unusual disappearance. Even at that time in Ireland, it was slow to, come into the public domain, partially because Jón's family were in Iceland, of course. So they didn't arrive for maybe 3 or 4 days. They didn't really know anyone in Dublin. So I think it was probably a week before it kind of entered the public's consciousness in Ireland.
And Anna, has there been anything from friends or family of Jón since 2019 that might even begin to explain why he disappeared or where he might have gone?
That's a really hard question, because there's so many things, right? But then again, he hasn't been found. And there's definitely some leads that maybe should have been looked into that haven't been looked into until now. You could say your listeners could go and Google the case and find out some things that happened directly, we believe, relating to our work for the podcast.
Entering the sixth year of his disappearance, right. What prompted both of you to make this podcast series now?
Well, it's interesting. Liam is the instigator.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of things. One, I really like Iceland. I've been there a number of times ever before Jón went missing. And there was just something about his case. I'm not sure, is it that it was so unusual? There was, he'd come to play poker. He's actually my own age. He was born in 1977. I feel there's a very a kindred spirit between Iceland and Ireland in many ways. And then in 2023, I was in Iceland. Jón's story was one I had checked in, since 2019 to see if there'd been any developments. There were none. And then I was in Iceland for a radio conference, actually, that RÚV were hosting. And Anna and I met one day purely by accident for a cup of coffee. And I said, there's a great story that I would love to explore in Iceland. And Anna said, yeah, let's do that. And here we are.
For me, I thought, yeah, there's a story that's going to be interesting for Icelanders, because Icelanders are interested in Icelanders. But up until that point, there hadn't been any new leads publicly. There wasn't, it was a dead case. And then the ball started rolling and it turned out to be much more interesting than I could have ever realized or imagined. So Liam's instincts were definitely correct there.
What have the police offered as their best guess, if indeed they have? Because presumably they have a theory or some theories as to what might have happened that tries to explain what happened to Jón.
So it's still technically classified as a missing persons case in Ireland, and because it happened in Ireland, it's under the jurisdiction of Irish Gardaí. That's our police force over here. And so the Icelandic police are assisting, of course, but they don't get to call the shots. So, like, without wanting to give too much away, because a lot of this we develop and the
Sure.
series develops, but I guess it started out as a missing persons case. It has certainly developed beyond that for Gardaí. Interestingly, both in Ireland and in Iceland, the police teams that were initially assigned to it have since changed, for various reasons, retirements and deaths. But I think it would be safe to say that the thinking, the police thinking on what initially happened or what could have happened initially to where it's at now, they're pretty much polar opposites.
And regrettably, people, of course, go missing all the time. Very often, those disappearances are not explained. And in a lot of cases, it's simply because the person concerned wanted to disappear, did not want to be found. Does anything perhaps point to that as a possibility, that this was someone who simply did not want to be found?
I guess where we move towards in the series is, and we're just in the middle of, because we're actually making this live, so to speak, so we're still in production. But where we're currently at is we have one possibility where we have a number of concrete clues or pointers. And then we have, because there are only four possibilities, either Jón took his own life, either Jón was in an accident, either Jón deliberately disappeared himself, you know, went to create a new life, or somebody did harm to Jón and ended his life. And so they're the four possibilities. And as we move through the series, we start to examine them. As Anna said, a lot of information has come to light. We've been making this now for over 18 months, with the family and with cooperation with both police forces also. And I think, well, it's not that I think, where we've ended up is that of those four possibilities, there is one clear one where there are concrete indicators to suggest it happened, and then there is absolutely nothing to back up the other three theories.
Anna, this was a story I think Liam said that he mentioned to you, so you perhaps didn't know so much about it at the start. What's it been like for you, both of you, I guess, to investigate this story and maybe find out things that no one knew about the case?
So I definitely did know about the case. Iceland is small. People don't often go missing in this peculiar way, almost never at all. But then getting into it was is, a whole other ball game. And yeah, finding out new clues, that's something that's very, it's weird because it's exciting and but then it's a dark story, so it's
Yes.
also uncomfortable. And really, what's been most interesting for me personally is getting to know Jón's family and getting to see what it's like being a family member of somebody who goes missing and is kind of stuck in that. It's grief, it's trauma, it's, you're just frozen in place, hoping to find your loved one. And, like there's always this hope of like maybe the next day you'll wake up and the police will have brought something in. Or maybe if you just did a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that, then you could find more clues. And it's an incredible experience to get to know them and to get to understand a little bit deeper what that's like. As definitely something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy to go through what the family's been through.
For instance, one of the things that Anna mentions there that really came to the forefront. I mean, Jón's family had been approached by lots of other places, TV documentary units or podcasts or whatever over the years. But it was the combination of the two public broadcasters coming together, both in
Yes.
Ireland and Iceland. I think from Anna's point of view or from my point of view, the kind of duty of care and the personal touch and understanding, cultural and otherwise, that Anna can bring to the family, that kind of bridges a gap that I could never enter because I'm not from Iceland. And equally so, because the story took place here, the likelihood is there is information on the island of Ireland, and that's something that's very important to Jón's family. But from an emotional point of view, I think something that's often totally overlooked, and of course it would be because the amount of people that go missing in the world is very small compared to the amount of people who live in the world. And that is that if a member of your family or your partner or husband, wife, whatever it is, goes missing, your entire future is then defined by that moment and by that person. And so from that point forward, you become the husband of the missing person, the brother, the son, the daughter, the aunt, the uncle. You know, that's how society looks on you. And, you know, even speaking with Jón's family just in the last few weeks, there are still people walk up to them in the street and say, "Hey, you're Jón Jónsson's brother. He went missing. I have a theory about what happened to Jón." And they kind of dump all this trauma on somebody. And like, none of us can imagine the kind of darkness you go through. Say you lose a child and they just vanish, they just disappear. I mean, what you will imagine in your head as to what may or may not have happened to them is life-changing, you know?
A lot of podcasts such as these can be, or they can be, on the edge of being exploitative. This one is not least for the reasons that you have outlined. But Anna, when it comes to talking to the family and the friends of Jon, and I think Liam touched on some of this, it feels as if just by doing the investigation, you are performing a useful service for them. Is that the feeling that you get from the friends and family of Jon?
In some ways, right? It's very hard for them. You know, that's something that I keep in front of mind always is that while we are definitely doing something that, you know, hopefully will be of help to them or of service to them in the long run, going through it is traumatic. Reliving things, talking about things, putting themselves out there like they do in the podcast, it's, you know, it takes incredible strength to do so, and it re-traumatizes them in many ways. And but not being exploitative is one of the most important things to me when working on this podcast. And I really hope that that we've kind of hit that mark, that we are, yeah, doing an act of public service as we do in the public service media, rather than rather than taking advantage of people in a bad situation.
The podcast is called Where Is Jon? Is that a question that you're seeking to answer?
Absolutely. So,
Definitely.
yeah, I mean, from the moment I spoke with Anna about this, I mean, part of the kind of driving force behind it is that I genuinely believe there's an opportunity to move the case forward, you know? Whether that can actually reach a conclusion remains to be seen. But like, there was a search took place in Dublin by our an Garda Síochána last year in February 2024, and that's as a direct result of information that came to light as a direct result of our involvement in the story. So, I mean, it kind of harps back to Anna's point about and your question about the family and being exploitative. Like, it's very clear to us that the family are doing this to actually help Jón, to help their dad, their brother, their son, to bring him home in whatever way that can happen. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. Whether we'll actually get there remains to be seen, but we're hopeful, I think.
And have the authorities welcomed your assistance as well? Because, as you've said there, this is not a podcast that simply lays out what is known right now. You are trying to move the investigation forward. Have the police, have the authorities welcomed the investigative work that you've been doing?
They've been as open, I think, as police forces can be. Obviously, we're, you know, persistently asking questions over an 18-month period of them, partially of their actions of the previous 5 years during which Jón went missing. But certainly, I think even the fact that new investigative teams have been placed on the case now in both Iceland and Ireland, and interestingly, it's not in the missing persons unit within the Irish police, Garda, you know, there's an investigative crime task force attached to it. So let's see. But I think ultimately, where we're very clear from everything we've done so far, that there's definitely information about Jón's disappearance in Iceland, and there's definitely information on his disappearance in Ireland. And hopefully, you know, those people will come forward.
And have you found that in Iceland, Anna, that the authorities here who are interested in this case have been helpful? And is there, I guess, continuing pressure from the authorities and from the police in Iceland to try to move this investigation forward?
It's hard to say about the pressure. They've been very forthcoming to us, but as Liam said, you know, there's a new team in Iceland as well as in Ireland. So and you know, there's a lot of things to do for the police, and maybe a cold missing persons case isn't at their front of mind. But yeah, I would say that they are open, and that they are. We know that they are now in contact with the Irish police after a bit of a hiatus. So hopefully, you know, everybody's pretty set on working on this a little bit further.
Now, you can follow the work that's been done so far by Anna and by Liam. This podcast continues to unfold. Today, it is possible to hear at least the first two episodes, I think I'm right in saying today, of the podcast. Where's it available? Where can we hear it?
You can
Anna?
hear it on Spotify or anywhere you would get your podcasts in Iceland, or outside of Iceland for that matter. You can also hear it on the Roof player, Spilari, as we call it, where you can find it in multiple versions, actually, because we have it also with Icelandic subtitles. Yeah, and then I guess on the RTE player as well, Liam.
In Ireland, it's rte.ie/whereisJón. And actually, within that website, there will be a possibility for listeners to leave anonymous tips, which are totally untraceable. So that information is confidential to them. We can't source where it came from, but we're just trying to, ultimately help the family, help solve this case.
Well, we shall post
Yes.
links to all the places that the podcast is available on the page accompanying this show from Roof English Radio. And I think you're planning six episodes in total in this series. And as we have our conversation, you still don't yet quite know how this is going to end. We hope it's going to end with the investigation having been advanced substantially, but you don't yet know how it's going to finish, do you?
No, in a word.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yes.
We
That
just
must
switched
be.
it from five episodes to six, so
Okay.
yeah, things could still change.
Okay. Well, it's a
Yeah.
fascinating story. It's one that I think we all hope is ultimately still going to have a good ending for the sake of Jon and his friends and family. And perhaps the work that's being done by this podcast is going to advance the likelihood of that. Thank you both very much indeed. Anna Marzibor-Closen from Roof and from RTE, public broadcaster in Ireland. Liam O'Brien joining me as well. Details of where you can listen to Where Does Jon, as I say, on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.